If you're more of a visual learner or you like seeing charts, breakdowns, and exploring other topics, check out our Student Loan Planner YouTube channel. We've got quick explainer videos, deep dives, smart money tips you can actually see in action. Just search Student Loan Planner on YouTube and hit subscribe.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner podcast. I'm your girl, Lauren Williams, a senior consultant on the team. Trav is just getting back from vacation, so you get me today. And I'd love to be able to tell you that everything is nice and calm and predictable in the student loan world, but we all know that would be a lie. It would be deeply off-brand for student loans to be like, hey, everything's going to be wonderful. So I'm coming with you a grab bag of topics this week and want to share with you, you know, just a few different things. Some might be relevant to you. Some might be relevant to a friend. The one thing we believe in at Student Loan Planner is that sharing is caring. So if there's someone that you know that might benefit from this information, that might need to tune in to their student loan situation, or if it's relevant to you, even better. So let's get going. First big update is that Borrower's Defense has now started sending out some letters saying that we should be discharging your loans within a year because the deadline to respond to the fact that you actually filled out a Borrower's Defense claim was not met. So they were supposed to be getting back to people by January 28th, and they did not to pretty much, you know, anybody for the most part. There were some people. So this particular letter that my client sent over said that they submitted their letter between June 22nd of 2022 and November 15th of 2022. And that, like I said, as a result of the court, the inaction on the part of the court, there is now the opportunity for their loans to be discharged within a year. Now, with that said, there is a little bit of an asterisk that you got to put by everything because it does say in the letter, unless otherwise authorized by an appropriate court. So there is still the possibility that a court comes along and says, no, we didn't have to get back to them by this date. You guys need to do this instead and follow up with XYZ process. But as it stands now, the letters have gone out, which makes me think that they're actually taking action to move this forward. And because, like I said, this administration is not very forgiveness oriented, I was surprised to see the letter go out so quickly, which makes me feel really optimistic. So while it is not 100%, I think this is very promising. Like I said, letters for Borrower's Defense people have gone out specifically to people who were applicants who have not heard anything back as of January 28th. Next, we got to talk about PSLF and this buyback situation. So the big hullabaloo that is happening right now is people are like, oh my goodness, there's all these articles out that are saying that they're not going to use the SAVE calculations for PSLF buyback. I understand why that's disappointing. SAVE was the best payment plan. And not only was it the best payment plan as far as like getting the lowest payment, they were giving those payments out at a time where they were willy-nilly like, hey, tell me how much you make. Don't give me any income information. Let me just put you on this plan. And so a lot of people had a lot lower payments than even they were supposed to at that time. Like a real SAVE calculation would not have been the payment that was calculated on SAVE. And so people have kind of anchored to that over the last 20 months as they've been sitting on this forbearance and they don't want to get off SAVE forbearance. They're hoping that SAVE comes back. And specifically, like I said, the people that are going for PSLF buyback. So, you know, they had 100 payments and over the last 20 months, that's 20 more payments that would have brought them to 120. And now they're signing up for buyback. Well, they said very clearly recently that they are not going to use the SAVE calculation. To me, this is not super shocking because they were using the repay calculation in the last few buyback agreements that we were seeing before this. Now, the one thing I will say is that if you have gotten a buyback agreement, please do send it over to us because we'd love to be able to see what they're saying and how they're calculating your particular payments. What they're saying they're going to do is use your ICR, IBR, any other PAYE, any of the other income-driven repayment plans as a metric to be able to calculate if you were on one of those plans previously, or they'll just ask you for, like you said, income information. What I'm hoping they're saying is like, provide me income information for the time frame. So as an example, if it's June of 2024 that you're trying to buy back, they should be asking for your 2024 taxes or pay stub from that time frame to be able to calculate what you should have been paying at that time versus what you would be paying right now based on your current income. Because if it's based on current income, it's not really different than the payment that you would be making right now. In which case, I mean, it still might help to buy back. You'd rather just get it off your plate sooner rather than later. But people are definitely hoping for that much lower payment associated with the save, and or like I said, some that lower income from earlier on, even maybe even your 2023 tax return, because 2023 tax return would have been your 2024 payment in the example. So like I said, if you have a buyback agreement, please do feel free to send it over to help@studentloanplanner.com and tell us what your experience was like, because sharing is caring. Like I said, you guys are boots on the ground. You're those data points that we need to be able to continue to help other people. And so that's my save PSLF buyback update. Next thing on the list to talk about is that long-term forgiveness is actually being processed. And I am so excited about it, because this is one that a lot of people have been really nervous about. So long-term forgiveness, when I'm saying that, it would be people who are on income-based repayment or income contingent repayment. You know, they've been paying for 20 or 25 years at this point, or as a result of the waivers that President Biden put into place, they got pushed forward to 20 or 25 years. Some of their forbearances or deferments and things like that were counted. They needed to get forgiveness. Some people needed to get forgiveness by December 31st of 2025 in order to have their forgiveness not be taxable. And that was a really big deal, because they seemed like the administration was dragging their feet to actually process the forgiveness. And so with that now done and out of the way, you know, December 3rd, 2025 has come and gone. People have just been like, well, what are they going to do? They have said very clearly that if you were supposed to have your loans forgiven during that time frame, that they will honor the fact that you will not have a tax liability. So excellent news on that front. But what we've been seeing lately is a big like wave. You know, lots of clients have been reaching out. Hey, my loans have been forgiven. And we're like, wait, what? You weren't eligible for forgiveness. Like, that's not what we talked about. And what it looks like is happening is that these people have consolidated their loans post July of 2014. And July 2014 is a special date, because that's the date that makes people, new borrowers, eligible for the new IBR plan. So if you borrowed in 2004, you should not be eligible for new IBR, period. But we've seen, like I said, the particular case that I'm pointing to right now, the borrower borrowed back in 2004, and consolidated the loans post July 2014, and their loans have been completely forgiven. So 2004 to present, we're in 2026, is not 25 years. We would need, you know, from 2004, and actually, if you borrowed way back in 2004, the only thing you would be eligible for is the old IBR or the ICR plan. And so if we added 25 years to that, the earliest these loans could be forgiven is 2029. But these people have gotten a forgiveness notice right now in 2026, 3 years early. And like I said, 3 years early at best case scenario. So that's great news for the people that are getting these forgiveness. You know, we're telling them, hey, we don't see anything that says that this should be true, but, you know, take it and run with it. If they're going to forgive it, there's a zeroing out your balances and the loans are disappearing. Far be it for us to say, no, you know, lucky you. But this is something that we're watching very closely to see, like you said, if they're going to catch it, if they're going to stop doing it, or if it's going to be kind of a free for all for people who consolidated after that date and maybe now, quote unquote, qualify for new IBR. We're not going to start telling people, hey, everybody go consolidate your loans. Don't do that. This is a very dangerous time to be consolidating your loans, but we are very happy for the people who have, you know, benefited as a result of it. All right. Next on my list of things to talk about is the IDR recertification timing issues. So we've brought this up a few times over the last couple weeks, and we do now have more data points because you all have been reaching out to us. And because, like I said, doing consultations, we're working on a regular basis with clients. And so IDR certification is happening. For years and years and years now, nobody has had to turn in their income information. And there are still some people who have been kicked all the way out to 2027 before they have to recertify their income. And so if that is your recertification date, you know, January, February, 2027, that is awesome. Stick with it. Keep making your payment based on, you know, what it is right now, and don't recertify until they ask you to. But we are now in 2026. Like I said, those pushbacks are done and over with, and they're telling people it's time to recertify. This first started with our June clients. We started seeing people who are whose recertification date was in June, and they started reaching out. I think it was actually in February. So February, March, April, May, June. It's almost 5 months in advance. And depending on the day, we're just like, this doesn't seem right. Something is off here, but maybe it's all going to work itself out. Initially, what we thought was happening was that they were reaching out to try to get people to get, you know, get moving. A lot of people have their IRS tax return linked. And so they're like providing these notifications. And so, we're just watching to see what was going on. It made people feel like they needed to recertify immediately. And some people were going in and manually recertifying their income. Well, when you log in, there's three different options. You log in at studentaid.gov/IDR. There's three options. It is recalculate my current payment, switch to a different payment plan altogether, income-driven repayment plan altogether, or manually recertify. Manually recertify is the option that you should choose if, as an example, your recertification date was in June and you wanted to go in and provide your income information. So pre-COVID, when life was normal, this was a regular thing. They would ask for your income. You would provide it to them. So like I said, right now we're in April and you provide your income information in April, even though your recertification date is not June. They now have it. They've updated your new payment and they will say, okay, you know, you're currently paying $77 a month. Your new payment is going to be $150 a month, but that's not going to start until June. So you know what your new payment is a couple months in advance. And in June, you should be ready to start making the higher payment. That's gone kind of completely out the window at this point. And I'm not sure why, because it seems like they're trying to do recertification right. But the right foot is not talking to the left, which is, you know, kind of par for the course at this point. So they're not honoring the recertification date listed. What has been happening is that if your tax return is linked, they're reaching out to you and they're reaching out about 4 months in advance and saying, hey, it's time for you to recertify, but your tax return is linked. You don't have to do anything. If you click the button to do anything, when you log in, they're saying, hey, your tax return is linked. You don't have to do anything. Do you still want to proceed? In which case you can, or, you know, decide to or not to proceed. But if you do nothing, what's seeming to happen is that they're processing this. And about a month before your normal recertification date, they're putting your new payment plan into place. So if your payment was, I don't know, let's go back to my $77 and it now is going up to 150. It's going up to 150 a month early, a month before it would have gone into place otherwise. And it's kind of been a little bit all over the board. Like I said, you guys are our data point. So we need you to tell us what's going on, what you're seeing. But this is what we've been seeing by, you know, 7 or 8 clients at this point across the board. So we know that this is something we needed to talk about. So what do you do if you want to keep your really low student loan payment because you're going for forgiveness, you're going for PSLF, you know, you just don't want to make the payment earlier? So the first thing you need to do is revoke your tax return access by logging in to studentaid.gov. So when you get logged in, you hover over your name and then you go down to settings and you should see financial information access. You would revoke consent for them to have your tax return. And they want you to link it. They're like, oh, are you sure you want to unlink it? Like I said, are you sure you want to proceed? Everybody wants the information to be linked. And we were really optimistic that they were going to try to make things a lot more easy and automated. But if they're not going to honor what they're supposed to be doing and update your income at the time that it's supposed to be updated, then you have to be an advocate for yourself. And so I'm suggesting that you go in and you revoke consent. And then what's supposed to happen is you have up until 35 days before your recertification date to provide your income. You know, in my June example, you would be in May. You know, it would be basically a month before. 35 days specifically is what they say. And they should be sending you correspondence as well saying, hey, it's time for you to recertify. If you don't do it by this time, then this will happen. And they should be putting those dates in the actual information. They usually put the exact dates related to your specific situation. And so, like I said, if you're getting those letters as well, we'd love to see them. We've only seen one from Aid Advantage where the days were listed correctly, because what it used to be was this 90-35-10 was the dates that were relevant. They've taken that completely down on the website. So here's how it used to read. 3 months before your servicer reaches out to you about recertifying your income-driven plan. Like I said, it's not on the website anymore, and we now know that to be 4 months before. Then it says 35 days before your income information is due. If you miss this deadline, your next billing statement might not reflect the information that you provide. So this is them saying like, hey, I need you to get me the information in advance so that we can make sure that we get it updated on time. And then 10 days before is the last day you can turn in your income document. So it's like, you're already late. You're past this 35-day mark. We can't guarantee you're going to get it done. But after 10 days before, you'll be taken off your IDR plan. You'll be put into a standard plan, which means your monthly payment will no longer be based on income and will likely increase. So you don't want to be waiting to 10 days before because then they boot you to the standard plan. You want to get in before the 35-day before time frame. And like I said, the only number that I've seen listed in a document that's been sent out recently is the 35 days before. We can't find this 3 months, 35 days, 10 days on any website related to studentaid.gov right now. But that used to be what was listed very plain and clear. So as it relates to being an advocate for yourself, go to studentaid.gov, take down your consent for your tax return, and then go ahead and do the manual recertification on time, which means you need to set a reminder. And then you go in, you manually recertify, provide your income, your family size, and all of those pieces of the puzzle. And so this gives you control to be able to actually take advantage of the payments that are yours to be paying right now versus the payments that, you know, they're telling you you're going to have to start paying a little bit sooner. We want to do what's right. We want to recertify our income every 12 months, but we need them to honor and do their job correctly as well. They can't do it every 11 months when it's supposed to be every 12. All right. Two more things I want to cover for you all. One is this payment that has been showing up after you get off of the SAVE plan. So there's been a mass exodus of people getting off of SAVE as a result of the various notifications that have gone out. You know, they finally said, hey, people are actually going to have to get off of SAVE. Once you receive a notification from your servicer, you will have 90 days to get off the plan. And that's caused a lot of people to just say, like, let me get off of it immediately so that I can get going because I don't want to be moved to the standard plan because, you know, that's going to stink. And so when you go to get off of the SAVE plan right now, what's been happening, you obviously choose a new payment plan, income-based repayment, income contingent repayment, pay as you earn as an option. One of those, if you're talking income driven, or you can choose one of the others still that are not tied to your income. But they've been sending a letter saying like, hey, we're processing your income driven repayment plan. You know, we'll get back to you. And then they'll come back and they'll say, hey, your payment is $777. And, you know, now you're good to go. And that's what you were expecting your payment to be. Then a couple days later, another payment will come or another notification will come and it'll say, hey, your payment of $328 is due on May 17th. And you're like, wait, what? Like $328 is way better than $777, but I wasn't expecting $328. And I also have this other notice over here that says $777. So now I'm just telling you all that it is normal to get two notifications, one of them being completely wrong. And the one that is completely wrong and lower is generally your SAVE payment. So if you look at it, you'll notice that it's usually the exact same number as the amount that it was for on SAVE. I don't know where this automated message is coming from. I don't know why, but I do know that they do want their full $777 in my example. They are processing correctly. But there's something that's going on with the system that's causing them to send out these additional notices. And it's really confusing for people. So ignore the lower payment, ignore the one that, like I said, is exactly the same amount you were paying on SAVE. And then the other thing that I've been seeing as well is that the systems are not talking to each other. So you should be prompted by your servicer to update your payment. So if you were on auto pay at $328, in my example for SAVE, before the SAVE forbearance came along, when your next payment is due next month, you're going to have to update your auto pay to $777. That's not happening automatically for whatever reason. They're not saying like, oh, okay, you've gone from $328 to $777. You're having to manually go in. Like it'll pull your payment next month. Like it's like it somehow recognizes you are in repayment, but it's not recognizing the new repayment that you have been issued. And so you need to go in and update that as well. Or you may need to go in and update that as well. So just like I said, some little things to be mindful of, because these are the things that like annoy people. You know, they get panicked because the information is confusing. And yeah, I wish they could just do their jobs well. But hey, this is the Department of Education. The one other thing related to kind of like payment plans that I wanted to talk about is that We've been seeing people whose loans have been coded as Parent Plus loans who have never taken out a Parent Plus loan in their life. So when they go to sign up for an income-driven repayment plan, what they're seeing is only the ICR plan as an available option. Everybody is eligible for income-based repayment plan. You're either eligible for the new one or the old one, but you should absolutely be eligible for income-based repayment, and they're not seeing that option. And so some people that don't know are just clicking ICR and going about their business, thinking like, oh, something is better than nothing. But generally, the ICR plan is going to be a much higher payment than the income-based. And so you need to be an advocate for yourself, and you call your servicer, and they're like, oh, you got Parent Plus loans. And you're like, no, I don't. And you need to fix this. What we've been seeing as the workaround, because a lot of the servicers don't know what to do, they don't know how to uncode it, they don't know how to fix it, is to go back in, sign up for the income-driven repayment plan, and then, like I said, once again, revoke access to your tax return, and then manually upload your tax return. So if you manually upload the tax return, now a human has to look at it. You checked off the box that says IBR, and you know they've got to actually read your file and realize like, oh yeah, you are eligible for IBR versus the ICR, and then it has to be taken care of behind the scenes. So we're not sure why this is happening, but we've seen, like I said, four or five cases of people whose loans have been coded as if they are Parent Plus loans, and they've never taken out a Parent Plus loan. So just be mindful of that. If you're only being offered the ICR plan, that may be the reason why. Let me see. Is there anything else that I wanted to tell you all? I feel like we've kind of got it covered. You all are our boots on the ground. Things are moving constantly. Things are changing all the time. Student loans have never been moving in a straight line. That is why the consultations I think that we do are so valuable, is because it's like, hey, here is the flavor of the week with what's going on with student loans. We are staying on top of it, so you don't necessarily have to. But by listening to this podcast, we know you're staying on top of it. Thanks for being an active participant in your financial life and also helping us. So if you have valuable information, anything that you feel like would be helpful to us, please don't hesitate to reach out. Like I said, your information is the information that we use to be able to help other people sometimes, because we don't have other data points. You know, the Department of Education is not being the most transparent. So while the system may be unpredictable, our collective intel is what makes this really, really valuable for each and every person that we're able to serve. So that is all I got for you today. I can't wait to talk to you the next time. Actually, I've got some really cool episodes coming up with some of my fellow consultants. So look out for us doing some Double Trouble episodes in the near future. If you need us, we are at studentloanplanner.com. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you for listening to this show. If you are not already getting our weekly newsletter every Thursday, you are missing out. We break down student loan news, updates, money tips, all in one helpful newsletter. Sign up for free at studentloanplanner.com/newsletter if you're not already getting these important weekly updates every Thursday.